Prepare to be blown away by Ben and Ralph. Dharma Lunch begins in T-minus 4, 8, 15, 16, 23, 42.
What in the world happened to you? Before you started talking, you used to have a brain. Hey! But now you don't get even the simple of some things. Hey! Draw a little picture or even use my hands. Hey! I tried to explain. But
this is the Darmalars.
Yes.
I'm Ralph.
I'm Ben.
And this week we received our very first listener addition to the karaoke Dharma Lounge?
Dharma Lounge, yeah.
And it is the greatest thing that this show's ever produced.
Well, we have to highlight that, but I still think, you know, when our show starts, don't we want to, after last week, we were so unprofessional, and then, after being unprofessional, Ryan was like, oh, we're doing really well. We're,
getting
a lot of listeners.
We got some bad feedback on iTunes. Thanks,
yeah.
Jerks.
We probably should have turned down our mics.
I'm thanking the jerks. I can thank the jerks.
Everyone's entitled to their opinion, according to Ryan.
Okay.
Ryan says he respects everyone's opinion. even the stupid ones.
One of the problems was that we don't talk about Lost and that we get our facts wrong, which means not facts. I don't know.
But no. Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, well, you know what? That's a criticism. Good job. you got us.
I was trying to think
if you want a Lost show where they don't talk about Lost too much, you know, this is the podcast for you.
We pride ourselves in it. I like Lost a lot.
I love it.
I also like a lot of podcasts about Lost.
Uh-huh.
Namely, three others.
Yeah.
And they all do recaps.
Yeah.
I don't think Kim and Amy do recaps.
They do reactions, Ryan says.
Yeah.
Don't they do Points of Revelation, kind of leftover from SAS?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if Jay and Jack are getting four times the amount of hits that the Darmalars get, chances are that the people listening to us already listen to Jay and Jack.
They don't need
another recap.
Yeah.
So.
We've said that before. Yeah, we're just going to talk about it. The show.
And another complaint we got on iTunes was that, unlike Jay and Jack, they're upset that we do not respond to our phone calls.
That's true.
That we play them all at the end.
We play them all at the end. Our show would be three times as long.
Yeah, yeah. We originally, when I started listening to podcasts, I listened to three exclusively. That was The Transmission. That was Make Your Own Kind of Music with Scott and Steve and The Lost Podcast with Jane and Jack. And The Transmission would pick out a few calls to play in the middle of the show and respond to those.
Okay.
And then put the remainder of the calls at the end of the show.
Right.
And the segment was You All Everybody. We adopted that name when The Transmission went off the air. I sent an email to Ryan, and he, not producer Ryan, but Ryan Ozawa.
From The Transmission.
Yeah, and asked him if it would be cool if we did that, and he said that would be great.
Yeah.
And so that's how we've been doing the show.
And the other podcast that you listen to, how do they handle their phone calls?
Scott and Steve would just either not play calls or play ones that were kind of funny.
Yeah.
And Jay and Jack, I know they don't have a chance to play all their calls because they get something I think Jay told me once that they got 200 and something calls in 1 week.
Oh, man.
So it's one of those things where, like you said, it would slow down our show. I think if we addressed every call ourselves, that it would just bog down
the middle
of the show.
You know, we like the idea of having the line for people to call in because we want to hear people's reactions to the show.
It's essentially an Apple box.
Yeah.
We will play every single call that comes in.
That's right. That's right.
But we just can't. We can't go through them all.
We put it at the end. You know, you mentioned that one person mentioned this as a criticism, but everyone that was on the Blogspot was defending our choice because they said, you know, they put them at the end. If I don't want to hear the calls, I can skip them.
Yeah.
And if I do want to hear the calls, I can listen to them and I can laugh at Dre because Dre is amazing.
Greatest guy ever.
Ryan says he's.
Dre's the greatest guy ever.
Yeah. Exactly. And so if we decided not to do a caller segment, we would never have had that. But there's no way we can talk about all of them.
So
we could barely talk about Lost.
This is what's going on with the show. First of all, at the end of the show, the greatest guy ever left us some karaoke.
Nice.
Also, so stick around for after that.
Thanks,
after
Greg.
After the segment that we are now calling just the Dharma Line.
The Dharma Line.
It's no longer going to be called You All Everybody, a tribute to the transmission, because a couple days ago, my iTunes refreshed, and once you know it, the transmission is back on the air.
That's awesome that you still have the subscription.
It's there. It's still there.
That's
and
funny.
It's awesome because if you type in Lost in iTunes, their show has totally skyrocketed.
Yeah.
And is now pretty close to where we are, which is like number 4 in Lost. Another thing that happened this week, this show, I'm glad Lost is back. And I don't know if you guys want this like State of the Union address or whatever is going on right now. Because nothing, as far as I am concerned, in my personal life, nothing's gone on, which is usually what this we do during the segment.
Yeah.
Other than I went to the DMV today and got my registration.
How did that go, dude? Huh? The DMV.
listen. I had a lot of time to think about it. I actually don't like the DMV, and you know, but this is what I've nailed it down to. This is what the DMV is. I don't mind sitting somewhere and thinking. The DMV is the bubblegum machine in the inventing room of Willy Wonka's chocolate factory. It's this huge, long, drawn-out process, and at the very end of it, you get one stick of gum.
Yeah.
Because I was there for 2 hours, and at the end, I walked up to a lady with my paperwork, and she stapled it together and handed me a sticker.
That Ta-da! I put on my.
There you go.
For your registration?
Yeah. You know a little sticker?
Yeah, but you don't have to go to the DMV for that.
I was doing it. Yeah, I needed to get it done right away.
That's too bad. Well, but, no, you could go to... Like that smog check.
The smog check wouldn't do it.
Oh, okay.
So I should have went to a better smog check.
It's dumb of me to think that I'm going to save you from something you've already done. Clearly,
yeah, and trust me, if I'm at the DMV,
yeah,
I went through what I needed to go through.
You went there because you had to. But I guess there's this need, at least for me, to think, oh, you did something dumb. If you'd only thought it through, you could have saved yourself all that hassle.
Yeah.
Idiot. But you didn't do that at all. So.
But anyway, the only other thing in this past week that I did or that's happened that's interesting is the Dharma Lars used to be on the Lost Initiative Network, which had Scott and Steve and the Lost Initiative girls, Kim and Amy. We went on our own feed in January of 2007. So it's a year and a month ago. And this past week, we hit our 200,000th download.
Yay!
So in 13 months, there's 200,000 files out there that you all downloaded. And
thanks,
we couldn't
guys.
Be happier.
That's a sweet little milestone. Thank you.
So thanks, guys.
Thighs.
So anyway, Ben, anything going on with you in your neck of the woods?
Not much. It has been kind of a slow week. I got tickets for Dimitri Martin.
Man, it seems like every week you have some new show.
I try. Trying to get out there.
Yeah.
No, the comedian, Dimitri Martin. He's been on Conan and The Daily Show.
He's a Daily Show guy. He does. What's his segment on The Daily Show?
He uses a pen and paper.
Anyway.
And he was in the last episode of Flight of the Conchords.
Yes, he was one of the rude dogs or whatever they were called.
Yeah, the crazy
the
dogs
awesome
or
dog,
whatever.
Crazy dogs. With 2 G's and a
yeah.
W.
So I'm
and a K.
Ah, I keep dropping everything today. So I'm all set to go see him in a couple of weeks.
Cool.
But this past weekend, not much. Just
Super Bowl?
The house.
Was there Super Bowl?
Super Bowl, yeah, but I missed it. I ended up driving
stuff.
Around that day.
Yeah. That's too bad.
Well, it was fine.
Iron Man trailer. Pachu,
I'm Iron Man.
Yes, it was. Ryan.
So I'm anxious to talk about this episode because I watched it twice. I took notes.
You want
to
talk about it?
And I have a feeling that it's a controversial episode or that it could be.
We'll squash that.
Okay.
People might like this episode. People might hate this episode, but the Dharmalars are here to tell you why you should like it. Right? I'm assuming you liked it.
Of course. I'm the biggest
homer
ever.
And I liked
it
too. So it's going to be a one-sided conversation between us and you.
Yeah, that's right.
The haters. Don't be
why
a
you
got to
hate.
And on why you gotta be a jader.
Yeah.
Skater. Alright, Brian's gonna go to the next chapter.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Every drop of rain that falls in Sahara Desert says it all. It's America. All God's creations, great and small. The Golden Gate and the Taj Mahal, that's America. the name of this?
Episode 4X02, Confirmed Dead.
Oh, yeah. Did I say Confirmed Dead last week? Was that one of my many blatherings on the next time on Lost?
You said so many words. Like you were kind of like a whole bunch of monkeys at a bunch of typewriters.
Did any of those monkeys do it? Okay.
I don't remember.
Okay, Ben. Let's get to it. Confirmed Dead.
I haven't gone online and read anyone's opinion of it because I kind of try to keep myself fresh for the our episode.
Uh-huh.
But I have a feeling that there would be a lot of people that did not like last night's episode.
Okay.
Do you think that at all?
From what I've read, it seems like a lot of people liked it.
Really?
And the haters, I don't know.
Okay. It's just something about it being as different as it was.
You're always going to have someone not happy.
Well, yeah.
Or something, so.
Yeah.
I think in this case, it wasn't like a Nikki and Paolo or a SOS kind of deal.
Right.
I think everyone was pretty much on board, but there's still the one or two people that didn't like it.
That makes sense. I liked it a lot. It was cool to meet the team that was on the helicopter.
You know what's funny is, as soon as I saw Jeremy Davies, I'm like, great. Now I'm going to have to figure out what this guy's deal is.
Yeah.
And then they showed me.
Yeah.
More or less.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, I'm guessing I'm going to learn all about him tonight.
Nope.
And then I learned all about some other people that showed up.
Yeah.
So it was a fun. I thought it was a cool little. It was nice. You know what? We only have so many episodes left. We don't have to draw anything out. We'll just get shit situated.
We don't have to know everything about this guy. I just want to show you how he became involved with the island.
Yeah.
And then hopefully, I think what they were doing last night was like the minimum groundwork they need to do to tell this story that these people are now a part of.
Yeah.
And we didn't mention this last week, but when I was reading up on last week's episode, someone mentioned that it had two flashbacks. It had Hurley's flashbacks, but there was also a Jack flashback.
Yeah.
So I was going to say that last night was the first one with, multiple.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say?
Yeah.
Except for last week.
A Jin and Sun episode.
But the Jin and Sun ones tend to go with whoever is having the flashback.
Mm-hmm.
It might be about Jin and Sun, but you only see what Sun does, or you only see what Jin does.
Uh-huh.
You know? Is that the case? Or no, you're right. The one where they meet, you see, like, Jin in his apartment, and you also see Sun talking to her mom.
Yeah.
So it's, like, the whole story. I've got some notes from this episode.
Yay! We're already one step ahead of last week.
That's right.
And I only watched the episode once, but I did listen to a recap on Jay and Jack's podcast.
That's good. I'm going to break down the team that was in the chopper.
Do it.
And if anyone asked how many there were, they always said four, including me. Which I thought, I guess that's just what you say, but they said it like exactly the same. And, these people have been coached to death, so
yeah.
I wonder if that's just what they were told to say. Anyhow, Daniel Faraday by your friend Jeremy Davies.
Yes.
He's a physicist.
A Sisyphus.
But he doesn't like to be pigeonholed. He's a genius. And we see him crying, which I thought was kind of cool. Kind of a cool little red herring. He sees that the plane's gone down. He has no reason to be sad, but he's crying, and he doesn't know why.
Yeah.
Now, with the other dude, it's clear he can talk to the dead.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if maybe his, Daniel's glitch is he's, like, just highly empathic. Or sensitive or something like that.
I have no idea. Like, I that's the only look we got into his character.
Yeah.
Was him crying at a TV. So, something obviously struck a chord with him.
Something struck a chord with him, and he doesn't know why. Like,
Maybe when he was a little kid, he had a traumatic experience with the airplane.
Yeah.
And he doesn't remember it, and maybe it came back.
Yeah.
Like, kind of a little bit of amnesia.
He's an interesting character, because he's kind of all over the place. Or
you could say he's a sloppy character and they don't know what to do with him.
That you could say that too. I liked that he said that. You remember that comment he said about there's the light being weird on the island? It doesn't scatter the right way. Or what does he say?
Is that what he said?
Yeah, the light doesn't scatter quite right.
Oh,
odd thing to say.
Yeah, I didn't.
But
I guess I wasn't paying attention.
He's the kind of guy that just says odd things,
I was very, very distracted by his homing beacon.
Yes.
I kept staring at it.
He kept it on the whole time.
And I kept staring and staring. So there's a lot of scenes where I was...
Where all you remember is a red blinking light.
Yeah.
But I thought that was important to his character, too, is he's the kind of guy that wouldn't take a homing beacon off.
Yeah.
Unless someone told him to.
Yeah.
Okay, we also have Miles. And I thought it was Strong, but I looked it up today and it was like Straum.
Okay.
Miles Straum, which they say is a play on the word maelstrom. Which means it means like a big stormy storm. Oh, by the way, Faraday. Faraday was a famous mathematician.
Okay.
You know, do the name game. I think this guy totally does talk to the dead.
I believe this guy has seen The Frighteners too many times. A lot of people say Ghostbusters, but I immediately thought of Frighteners.
Yeah.
Because there was something, like, not only the gadget he used to whatever he was doing with it.
Right.
It just reminded me of The Frighteners.
Because he made a profit?
I guess. I don't.
He made a profit in a different way than the Ghostbusters do.
Uh-huh.
So, but he knew where to find the money.
Or the weed or whatever that drug is he pulled out.
It looked like the same kind of stuff that Charlie liked to put on his teeth. Yeah. Heroin.
Yeah. Fucking jerk.
Yeah. So, Glenn's dead. He goes and talks to Naomi.
What? You didn't hear me. Ryan heard me and said no.
No. Ryan says no. And he talks to Naomi.
Yes.
Apparently. And finds out that the truth about their story. So.
Yeah.
He totally legitimately
and acted very nonchalant about them being survivors of 815.
Yeah, he doesn't.
Are they really dead?
Yeah, that was awesome.
No, they're not dead. Knock it off. Cut it out.
He knew going into it.
Cut it out. That doesn't play over on a audio podcast. Once again,
too legit to quit.
Once again, I did cut it out with too legit to quit hand gestures.
But then I found out I was unlegit. So I must quit. Charlotte Staples Lewis. And I hope she's got like two last names because Staples is kind of a weird middle name.
You know what? The whole time I heard...
C.S. Lewis, Ryan says.
The whole time, every time they said Charlotte, I kept thinking of Charlotte Ray. And I have no idea why.
I remember that song. Are you Charlotte Ray? Are you Stan
Ray?
No,
I don't know what that is.
No?
I have no idea what it is. I talk about Facts of Life, Charlotte Ray.
Ah, okay.
Not Different Strokes, Charlotte Ray.
Just make the distinction.
Yeah.
She doesn't believe that 815 was found. Like, she didn't believe that headline. Her friend was like, how many languages do you have to see it in?
I am not retaining information when I'm watching this show this season.
That's why I'm here.
I know. No, I'm not going to sit there and take notes. Not I want to enjoy the show.
It. The first time you have to just watch it.
I need to watch the show a second time.
Yeah.
I don't have,
so anyhow,
I don't have time.
Her friend shows her that newspaper.
If I had a video iPod, I could watch it while sitting in the fucking DMV.
Send your video iPods to Darmalars.
Yeah, send me a video iPod. Oh, Jesus.
Continue. She didn't believe that the plane had been found. She didn't believe that that wreckage was the plane for whatever reason.
Did she think it was a model?
Because
it looked like a model.
It sure did look
just
like a model.
It's a model. All right. So Charlotte Ray.
Charlotte Ray. And she was the one that found that that bear.
Yes. Let's talk about the bear.
In Tunisia.
Obviously. This is what I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
To anybody who's seen the Orchid film, would make a correlation between the duplication of the rabbits and, say, a duplication of a Hydra bear, a Hydra station bear in a different area.
Okay.
That's what I say.
And it could have been duplicated in Tunisia.
Yeah.
And wandered around for a while and died of starvation.
Yeah.
And to me, it's like it doesn't have to have been there that long. I'm sure the dust would turn anything into bones in a couple of years.
Yeah.
So.
And Dharma was doing their experiments. When do you think the Orchid
20 years
film,
ago?
More than 20. 20 years ago was... 1988, dude.
And
the year Batman came out.
And the first, the Swan video is copyright 1980, right?
Yeah.
So like 30 years ago.
Yeah, 30 years. So yeah. I think 30 years, let's say that anomaly happened and that were the case, that bear would have been there about 30 years ago.
And so I think that's perfectly legit.
Yeah.
Like we don't have to start thinking time travel.
Yeah.
Not just yet. It's fine. It's well enough to think of cloning a duplicate in a different location.
Yeah.
Oh, that's all right. You'll never hear the word clone. Creating. So that was cool. That caller is cool. And then the last one is Frank Lapidus.
Yes, a.k.a. Jeff Fahey.
Played by the...
Jeff Fahey.
You know what's funny? I thought about that actor yesterday before I watched Lost. Just randomly out of the blue.
Were you thinking about Grindhouse?
I was thinking about Grindhouse.
Oh, is it just me? Because I wanted to watch the episode again just for the fact that I could have sworn it said Zoe Bell in the credits.
Really?
But I obviously am wrong because I didn't see her.
Who's Zoe Bell?
She's also in Planet... No, she's in Death Proof.
She's
the Australian stunt driver who became actor in Gremlins.
Yeah. Huh.
But I don't think she was in the episode. But know who I did notice?
Who?
Was Fisher Stevens, what? A.K.A. B.E.N. from Short Circuit.
In this episode of Lost?
Yep. And where? I had to go look him up. And Fisher Stevens portrays Bukowski, who's the guy on the other end of the satellite phone. So those of you fans of white guys as stereotypical Indians in the 80s film, that Short Circuit.
Your ship has come in.
Yep. Because he's Mikowski.
And Mikowski's on it. Do you think Mikowski is Ben's mole?
Nope.
No?
Nope.
That was pretty quick.
I believe that Michael is still working for Ben Linus.
Wow. That was awesome. I like that. And you think he's on the boat?
Yes.
How could he justify... How? Nice.
He's the only character. He's the only character we know that hasn't died. And if Ben says, "I have a man on the boat," and we know someone's coming back this season, I have a feeling that's going to be a reveal. That's going to be the guy.
Oh, I can't wait to see if that plays out. That'd be cool.
And I think without the sub, they can no longer get information from Michael.
So
I have a feeling that Michael is somehow giving information through the sub.
And now they're kind of locked off.
Yeah.
And he didn't know these people were coming.
Michael is helping Ben Linus.
Against.
And Walt is helping Locke.
Yeah.
I'd really like to know what's going on in the
boat.
That's
interesting.
That Walt sees and why he's warning.
Yeah. But not telling Michael.
Yeah.
And the boat people, whoever they are.
The Not Penny's boat freighter.
Yeah, the Not
the
Penny's
Freighties.
Boat people.
What? Yeah, continue.
Oh, no, just looking at all the different angles. There's the boat people have a problem with Ben, and Ben doesn't know they're coming until he sees Naomi because he lost his line of communication with Michael, which Locke did. Locke broke off that line of communication. So if Locke's fighting for Walt and Walt doesn't want those people there, then it's too bad that Walt didn't get to Locke earlier.
Unless Michael's using Walt to communicate to Ben through Locke, who Locke was actually open-minded enough to see Walt. So Walt's like, Ben Linus isn't, his mind isn't open enough because he doesn't even really communicate with Jacob.
He doesn't even,
but Locke does. So Walt's using Locke as a middleman to Ben Linus.
Wow. That's awesome. That's awesome. And that's entirely possible.
So.
Cool.
I'm going to go to sleep now.
Okay, good night. The reason I thought about that dude from Grindhouse, I was making dinner last night.
Oh, is he making barbecue sauce?
I was making spaghetti, and I was eating barbecue chips, and I was afraid I was going to drop him into the sauce, and I was like, oh man, he tasted the blood on his sauce and realized he needed more salt. That movie's awesome. And then the dude showed up. I was very surprised.
Planet Error.
Yeah.
What else you got on your notes?
Okay.
Are you to the scene where they go and pick up... the dude who parachuted, who was... Oh, the girl. What's her... Who was the... That they found... Miles.
Charlotte.
Miles. Are you at that part yet?
Well, I was doing the four people first, and I'm done with that.
Yeah, talk about Jeff... Oh, you're done with that?
Well, except for one thing. Naomi calls them a head case, a ghostbuster, an anthropologist, and a drunk.
Yes.
That's how she refers to them. So...
Sweet.
That's interesting.
It's like a...
But yeah, no, my first note that's in sequence of the episode is when they tie the beacon to Vincent to make them think that Charlotte's coming at them. I was surprised that they didn't tie it to Rousseau, because when something comes out of the freaking jungle there, it's either Vincent or Rousseau.
Exactly. Or it could have been Hurley in a Volkswagen bus.
Right.
The only other thing that come out of the jungle.
Freaking... Was it Faraday that calls Mikowski or Miles that calls him and he says, "Do you have me on speaker?"
Yeah, it was it was Daniel.
I thought that
was
awesome.
Is his name Daniel?
Yeah, Dan. Yeah, Daniel.
Hmm.
I thought that was awesome.
Wasn't the father of Anna Lucille's child named Danny? Dun, dun, dun. That's why he's sad that the plane was down.
But he can't
tell his wife.
Wow. Man, you're just opening up all kinds of avenues.
Danny Pickett was also on the island.
Ooh.
Danny's dad. So anyway, can we talk about the scene where they pick up Miles?
Totally.
Obviously the same place where Kelvin Inman passed away.
Yeah, passed away.
And I want to say that it's interesting that they chose that location that's so like iconic as that place. Like, it's obviously that's a place we've seen before without seeing Kelvin's body.
Yeah.
Another body that we found missing is Christian Shepherd. He is not in the casket where he should be, and he's nowhere near the caves where Crash landed. Why? Where are these disappearing bodies going to, and how come the Dharma people's bodies are still there?
Huh. That's a good question. I mean, I guess you could say maybe like scavengers ate them, or maybe the tide comes up on those rocks there.
Maybe.
Maybe the tide washed Inman away.
Or maybe spooky.
Spooky.
I don't know.
I
thought that if they were going to revisit that location, someone would have said, this is where Kelvin died.
But Kate and Jack don't necessarily know that.
Yeah, but they would have seen it.
They would have seen it.
The exact, where he landed was the exact place he got his head smashed in.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, for future reference,
lock that away.
Something might happen there.
You know what? You're right. It is distinctive enough that they probably didn't just pick it. Like, just say, oh, let's go to this place again.
There was a character named Danny Pickett.
They went there for a reason.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was cool. Miles totally pulled the wool over their eyes.
Yeah.
Just like, oh, I'm dead. Oh, gotcha.
Didn't we just talk about that last week with Naomi? If you're going to be lying down dead, wait until they get close to you to freak him out.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm glad Miles did that.
I like that Hurley told Locke that he knew where the cabin was. He was like, isn't it a little to the left?
I love that he had a quick cover for that.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant the plane's cabin.
Yeah, that worked out really well.
I loved Sawyer's line about giant Walt.
Yes. Taller ghost Walt.
Yeah. He was taller. Which, that's very funny because we all know that the actor...
We all know that he's taller.
Malcolm David Kelly is going to get taller because he hasn't been on the show for like 3 years.
Is there going to be like an explanation for that, or is that the best we're going to get, is that Locke just kind of says, oh, he's taller?
I'm happy with that explanation.
I'm fine with that.
If they don't explain it later, I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
They could say, oh my God, experiments.
Because that way they at least acknowledge it.
Yes.
Or that could be some crazy explanation.
Yeah. But
a pumpkin knife.
Spooky.
You know what I've noticed is, I thought it's interesting that Locke seems to be more honest than even Hurley, like at least in that scene. But I think Hurley's motivated by he doesn't want people to think he's crazy. You know, he knows he has experience with seeing things. He doesn't have any reason to believe that the cabin was actually there.
Yeah.
So, you know, why would he want to share that with anyone? Because he has a real sensitivity issue with his craziness.
Yeah. Because he knows if he said, oh, there's a log cabin here, someone would go, you're crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But if he hears Locke telling Sawyer about taller Walt, you know, and accepts that, then maybe that'll help him accept. Well, no, we see him later on. He commits himself for seeing Charlie. So we know before they leave the island, he doesn't come to accept his visions. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. I like they would talk to Juliet about Ben. Like, why would he tell us? Ralph?
Yes. Can I say one thing real quick?
Sure. Yeah.
I mentioned this on the Blogspot, and I want to say that those of you who visit scottandsteve.blogspot.com know what I'm talking about. My wife, Stevie, does not visit the Blogspot. And as soon as Juliet showed up on screen, trekking through the woods, she said what my mind was thinking. And the word that came out of her mouth was, boobs. As soon as she saw Juliet walking, even Stevie noticed that she should be saying, boobs.
Totally. Have you Netflix Gia yet?
No. Well, dude. I might have, but it's my Q's so long, dude. I didn't say my D.
Oh. I thought you meant your quality penis. It's pretty long.
My Q's, dude. My Q's. My balls.
Quality balls.
My ballities.
So someone asked her like why Ben would say that, and she's like, because he's a liar. Or because they came here to hurt us.
Yes.
He is a liar, but he also knows the truth a lot, so you can never tell. Freaking.
Yes.
Locke's bullet wound?
That was cool. Lucky shot right there, buddy.
Yeah.
Right through the kidney. Pow, right in the kisser.
Pow, right in the kisser.
Pow, right in the kisser. That's another thing is apparently we make references and consider them jokes.
Yeah, we call that a joke.
That's true.
It's not a joke.
That's a feedback that we got.
But yeah, they shot him right where his kidney used to be. So his dad actually helped him for once?
Yes.
Yeah.
Unless Ben Linus already knew that he was missing a kidney. It's true. So he went. He could have shot him in the head and finished the job, but no, he shot him straight through the kidney. And
whether or not he shot him,
he's like, "How can I make Locke understand that I'm going to get my point across, but not really damage him too much?"
I believe leaving him for dead.
Ryan's not agreeing.
No, I believe if Ben leaves him for dead after shooting him in the gut on that island, and he knows how tuned in Locke is, he's got to know he's not going to die. Hmm. You know, Mikhail got shot with a spear gun in the chest. And he didn't die.
Yeah.
So I, you know, in that perspective, I can see that Ben maybe wouldn't have been that surprised when Locke came back.
Yeah.
He didn't think he was killing him forever. He thought he was slowing him down.
I don't know.
Sending him a message. Or separating himself from him. Shoots him so he can get away. Like,
yeah.
Here you go. You're shot now. Or I guess the other thing is maybe he didn't know that Walt, the cavalry, would come. Maybe he thought
that there's only if Jacob really did talk to this guy,
yeah.
I want to make sure that he's something special.
He's
so
worthwhile.
I will shoot him. I'll put him in a situation, and if he is this amazing person, he's going to get out of this.
Exactly.
We'll see about this.
Yeah, if he wanted him dead, he would have shot him in the head and you know, gassed him, covered him with his dad's corpse, and rolled out of there. Rolled out of that bitch.
Yeah.
324 original passengers.
Okay.
Just there you go. Now we know.
Yeah.
I don't think we ever really knew.
Greg Gumbert had a sweet stash.
He sure did. He should have kept that thing.
He should have.
Someone
should go climb up a tree and put one back on him.
No, he's not in the... Oh, yeah.
He's in the tree.
It dropped him, right?
It's a... The reveal in the pilot episode...
that's right. That's right.
The whole, like, end of the first episode is...
Is him.
His bloody freaking corpse.
God damn it. He got worked.
Yeah, somehow.
At
by Locke, a smoke monster, which we almost got an answer to this week.
That was awesome. Ben just doesn't know. And I was like, I would have shot him right there. That's it. I'm done. What was I going to say? There was a part with Ben. When he shoots Charlotte. Totally shoots her, two in the chest. Doesn't shoot anyone else. Doesn't do anything else with the gun. Like, he just wanted to do that.
Yeah.
So he's still focused. You know, he didn't get out of his situation. He shot her and then got beat up by Sawyer.
Yeah.
Like, he knows he's playing a much bigger game than anyone realizes, I think.
Yeah.
Because he could have knocked Carl down, taken someone hostage.
Carl, a.k.a. Dagobah Luke.
I just thought that was interesting.
You know what cracks me up about that picture of Ben Linus that they all have?
Yeah.
Which, first of all, why do you need a picture to know who you're going at? Like, you don't need to carry it on you. Like, it's weird. What cracks me up is it looks like Tom's MySpace picture.
It does. Turn it slightly behind.
Also, I noticed, and this is probably just a whatever, but the computer behind him is not plugged into any kind of wire or wall.
Does it have,
because
like...
the back of a monitor and the ports where you plug in the power and the... What, VGA cable?
Yeah, yeah.
They're not plugged in anything.
Picture looks so 70s to me. Right, so
it wasn't
an
iMac.
Did that picture look in any particular era to you?
No, not really. He was wearing a vest.
Yeah.
Like maybe he was a dealer in Vegas.
Do you think that picture was taken on the island? Ryan says yeah.
I can't tell. I don't think it was.
I don't think it was.
How would they get a picture of Ben on the island?
It looks like
airport. I have a feeling that Ben might even leave the island frequently.
Yeah.
Like, just like Albert.
If they did get a picture of him from the island, then they had someone on his side.
Could it be Desmond? Wait.
No.
Why did Naomi have a picture of Desmond?
Exactly. Exactly. I was going to ask that.
I don't know.
She knew going into it that there might be 815 survivors. Even if Abaddon told her no.
He wasn't on 815, though.
I know. But my point is, if she knew that, maybe she knows more about the area they're going into. in terms of who else might be there.
Maybe Michael's working for them, but secretly Ben thinks he's working for him.
Somebody, Michael's like a, or maybe he's just a double agent.
He's like, fuck those people. I'm going to work for you guys, and here's all the information. But I need to give information for him to him, so he thinks I'm still on his side.
Yeah, that, or he's working
for
them.
Dude, that's where I rest my head, Ryan. Right there. That's where I rest my head.
Did you just fart where Ralph rests his head?
No.
No.
It's like where his shoulder goes.
He could just be telling them, hey, you know, hey, I'm going to go work for you. Here's a picture I snapped of Ben. No, he would never have a chance to take a picture of Ben Linus.
No. But I'm saying, even past the, I don't know how they got a picture of Ben.
Okay,
Linus.
You're not talking about the picture anymore. Yeah. He could be a double or a triple agent.
Sweet.
Or a single agent. Whoa.
Yeah.
Or he could just be an agent for the cycle.
Or he'd just be a dumbass.
That's a joke. That's not a reference. That was a joke. Jack, fucking, I gave you that. Wink. That was his secret signal to Kate.
Yeah.
That the cavalry was coming.
Which was awesome.
Okay. You know that? They are the others now. No. And you know what? Locke's team is the Tailies now.
Because they have Bernard.
That's right. The scene where Charlotte has just been like taken out of the river or whatever, and she's sitting down, and then all of our guys.
Oh, yeah. Captured in.
That scene, I thought the blocking in that scene was outstanding. That just, it looked so awesome to me. The way Hurley's standing, Sawyer is sitting, Locke is kneeling. And it's funny how...
It's an album cover.
It is. It's a lot like an album cover. And she's so separate from them and so clearly not in a position of power. What I like how eclectic that group is. There's 815 survivors, there's natives, there's... Rousseau. There's like five extras. What's that?
Desmond.
Desmond went with them?
Yeah.
He didn't have much dialogue last night.
Yeah,
he was on their side.
He believes in Charlie. He's with... The only people not with those guys who are with Miles and the other one, Juliet, Jack, Kate, and Saeed.
Jin and Son.
Are Jin and Son with Jack?
Yeah. And Rose and Bernard. Yeah, Bernard's not with Locke's group.
Then what were they doing this whole time? Are they just hanging out at the beach?
Everyone's at the beach.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure Desmond's at the beach, but you're right. That's weird.
I thought Desmond went with...
I watched that scene. I downloaded that screenshot because I thought that was such excellent blocking.
Huh.
Desmond was MIA last night. I get my facts wrong all the time.
I don't understand why Desmond would go...
You're right,
not
though.
Go with Hurley.
You're totally right.
He's the one that saw Charlie say, not Penny's boat.
Yeah, and of all people, Desmond should understand that.
Look it up on
the pilot. The pilot, when he they find him, and he says, the pumpkin knife. When they find him, he says, I saw a cow. That was hilarious.
Yeah. Stevie was very concerned about seeing a cow on the island, but I'm pretty sure that Mikhail had a cow.
Yeah. That might be the same cow.
Yeah.
Near the flame?
Yes. Anything else?
I know. I liked that the Ghostbuster guy, when they were carrying Naomi's corpse around, he said, that's just meat. That's not Naomi.
Uh-huh.
Because that's, you know, part of my own personal philosophy. I thought it was cool to hear a psychic guy kind of talk about that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it reminds me of Yoda, which also Sawyer called Ben Yoda in this episode.
Yeah.
Which I thought was cool.
I think he called him Yoda because he was short, like he was down on his knees or whatever.
Oh, I think he called him that because he knows a lot and because he's got bug eyes. Oh, Ben, I'm sorry about the bug eyes. Oh, Locke, it's my mess. I'll clean it up. That's what he says when he's about to shoot Ben. That was awesome.
That was cool.
Total reference to Further Instructions.
Yeah.
You don't want to talk about Further Instructions? That's your favorite episode.
I hate Further Instructions.
But total reference to that.
Yeah.
It's a reference to what Boone says to him.
Yeah.
And what he feels in terms of the cop, Eddie.
Yeah.
And so you're done with talking about your episode?
Yeah.
Until
it's confirmed to flash forward.
when Ben tells, like, Locke, he doesn't know who the monster is, but he does know why they're here, why these not Penny's boat people are here. Mm-hmm. He says, they're here because they want me. At that second, I would hand the rope to Charlotte and be like, here, we're good. See you later. Take Ben. I don't want Ben Linus.
Yeah.
We hate him anyway. We were about to shoot him. The only reason we didn't shoot him is because he said he knows why you're here. Well, if you're here for him, take him.
Yeah.
Right? Go meet up with your people. Bye. Here's Ben Linus. If you could send us a boat, like, in a year, we promise that we won't say anything about you. And that's it. That's all I want to say about this episode.
All right. So do you want to talk about next week?
I'd love to.
Yeah, let's go for it. Next week on Lost is episode number 3.
Yes.
God, it feels like it'd be 4.
No.
Or 3. And the episode's called The Economist.
The Economist.
Look at that. We did our research.
Yep.
1 minute before we started the podcast.
The Economist is a magazine.
What is an economist?
It's someone who studies the economy.
Okay. Who could that be about?
Or economies. You know, it could be anyone because in terms, it doesn't have to be an economy of money. Hmm. Or it doesn't have to be the politics of dancing. Or the socioeconomics of feeling good. It doesn't have to be any of these things.
All right.
The reason why I know that The Economist is a magazine is because it's referenced in an Onion article. So I read The Onion, but not The Economist. I'm doing A-OK.
What do we see from the preview?
Here's what I've noticed about the previews.
Gunshot, an explosion.
Gunshot, pee-pee goal. Here's what I noticed
about
the previews.
The dude said, we're going to see another one of the six. Thanks, TV.
Ryan was complaining about that earlier, and I think you're right, because it's total niche marketing, like they did a joke of on Arrested Development when it was like, someone tonight will die, one of these 8 people.
Yeah.
It's totally dumb. Like, next week, we'll find out this. But what I've noticed is, they're advertising for the next week of Lost, which is a repeat episode and a new episode. So the trailer has footage from tonight's episode and footage from next week's episode.
Okay.
So that's why it's hard to see so much new stuff. Because there was, like, maybe, say, 20 shots. And 10 of them were from Confirmed Dead.
Did you notice anything new from The Economist?
Guns.
Got it.
Saeed and Kate walking around at the others' houses.
Say word.
Kate is in Ben's bed.
Dig.
I assume it's his bed because it's got all that hospital equipment. The chopper flying over the island.
Dig it.
And that's about it.
So
some dialogue.
So they show the chopper flying again.
They show the chopper. I've
seen that chopper flying all summer long.
You know what? I saw
show the fucking, and it doesn't even look like the same chopper.
No, it looks less blue. It looks like white and blue. And they showed that chopper like in the valley. And Zed's dead, baby. They showed that chopper in the valley, right? And you're looking at it, and it's like, hey, wow, amazing, a helicopter. I was like, fucking put it next to the Black Rock, Elizabeth. The bus, the submarine. It's not going to do anyone any good.
The hot air balloon.
Yeah.
The statue.
Yeah.
The helicopter.
Build yourself a fucking collection.
Yeah. They should create a super vehicle out of all of those things.
They should. And you know what? It could be powered by Gilligan's bamboo bicycle.
Yes.
Which I'm sure is somewhere on the island.
Yes. They'll find a bike.
In memory.
There's bikes in the others camp.
There's probably there you go.
There you go.
I bet you there's a big wheel upside down in the other's camp for making ice cream.
There could be.
That's the kind of people they are.
Assholes.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, this is the last segment too, right? Or do we do another chapter?
No, we go directly to Jimmy in Seattle.
Oh, that's right. Awesome. I'm fired up. I made Harmony some discs of our episodes, and she's been very appreciative. She says it's a very good show.
Awesome.
So that's for you, Jimmy. Yeah.
Take it away.
The light. Strange out here, isn't it? It's kind of like it doesn't scatter quite right.
well. I wonder what that meant. Hello, everybody. Jimmy in Seattle here once again with the Dharma Lao's Lost Score. In the background, you can hear Final Countdown from Season 2. It's a familiar theme. What a great episode. I really enjoyed that. I enjoyed seeing everything from the perspective of the others. Well, by that I mean the other others. But the main reason I'm here is to talk about a particular musical style that was apparent in this episode. Listen to the background now. You will notice you will hear repeating patterns of notes. A lot of repetition, a lot of rhythmic melodies coming up. Of course, this music was very prevalent in scenes involving the hatch in Season 2 when they were entering numbers, Locke's obsession with the numbers, etc. Anyway, we're going to talk about what it is, where it's been used before. The technique is called ostinato. It's actually derived from the Italian word stubborn. Anyway, as I said before, rhythmic patterns, melodies. There's ostinatos, there's ostinati. Both are accepted as plural forms. There were examples of it in the episode Confirmed Dead, when Jack and Kate first introduced to the character of Miles. Take a listen to this rather harsh music. Very reminiscent of Bernard Herrmann and the Psycho score.
He dead?
Back up, Hanson.
You can check out some of our old episodes. You can delve into our comparisons there. Here's another example, same night, with early coming across Jacob. Here you go.
Help! Help! Help!
It's pretty intense stuff. It's very abrupt, very hard. Extremely effective at, like, punctuating a moment. Let's crank the pace up a bit. You're listening to Uncle from the soundtrack of the movie Sexy Beast, one of my favourite films, actually. And in fact, I'll be doing a musical review of that film shortly on the Ripples Dip podcast, so please feel free to subscribe to my other little venture. Very similar to this, I'm just doing non-Lost related shows, but quickly look down, check your screens or your iPhones, and see links in. Subscribe there. But more importantly, subscribe to the Dharma Lars. We put out 2 shows a week. It's very good to be tied up with Ben and Ralph in the standard show at the end of the week. And of course, I'll be doing the midweek show coming up in a couple of days, probably Tuesday or Wednesday. We'll have a lot more information about the music of the episode we just saw, Confirmed Dead. Of which I might add, iTunes has not got it up yet, so it kind of slowed me down a bit. But, all the more for next week. Good luck, everyone. Hope you're doing well. And whatever it is you do choose to do, may it be good, and may you be safe. Namaste.
So, yes, Jimmy.
Thanks, Jimmy, once again, for the music.
Thank you.
It's awesome. And I can't wait to hear your show on Monday, maybe, the midweek Lost Score on the Dharmalars feed.
Yeah, if you subscribe to our feed, then you get an extra episode every week.
And sometimes it'll be on the LPN.
Sometimes.
Most likely it'll be on the LPN as well.
Good.
Before we get going and give out the contact information, I wanted to do something last week and I totally forgot. But I'd like to thank Stuart for sending me a Lost mixtape, which is for both of us. I'll have to get it out of Stevie's car.
Awesome.
And you can upload it.
Yeah.
It's got a bunch of songs and sound clips from the show.
Sweet. Thanks, Stuart.
Stuart is the coolest.
I remember him at Comic-Con, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Thank you, Stuart. And it's funny because last week, the UPS guy came at 7 p.m., exactly 1 hour before Lost started. And it was pretty cool.
Just in time to mix
just,
it up.
As if I wasn't fired up on Lost at that moment enough. FedEx came and delivered me a package.
Just in case.
So thank you very much, Stuart.
Cool.
From all of us here at the Dharmalars.
Yeah.
If you'd like to send us something, like maybe an email,
Drop
us a line at dharmalars@gmail.com.
That's right.
Be our friend on MySpace. That's myspace.com/dharmalars. Also, other things we have, dharmalars.net, which is getting a new site soon. This weekend, I'm not promising anything, but Ryan's keeping his fingers crossed. We're going to get hard. We're going to be hard on working on that.
You're going to be a hard on.
And if you want to be a part of the show, give us a call.
And who wouldn't?
On the Dharma line at 206-338-4261.
You got it, dude.
Awesome. And also, shopsaminate.com. I talked to Sam, and the golden ticket's still out there.
So
it hasn't been discovered. It's still going on. And on the golden ticket is specific instructions. You follow the instructions. We declare you as the winner and you get a bunch of Dharmalars junk and you get a chance to record with the Dharmalars. You can get a t-shirt at shopsaminate.com. Did I not mention that?
No.
They're yellow. They're Dharmalars logo on the front. They're cool.
Get them while they're hot because
they attract bees.
We might switch. That's right.
You can make honey.
That's right. Get them while they're hot because we might change the logo. You never know.
The logo. We won't change the logo. We might change the shirt design.
We might change the shirt. Yeah.
I think yes, but that's it. Once these Dharmalar shirts are sold out, they're done.
Oh yeah, if you get a shirt, take a picture of it and send it to us.
Yes.
Well, take a picture of you wearing it. Don't just take a picture of the shirt in your fucking dresser drawer.
Yeah.
If you don't have a shirt, take a picture of that, ladies.
I bought a shirt. Here's a picture of me in my Vans shirt. And we will, with your permission, we will post that in the Dharmalarmy section on our MySpace page.
That's right.
And if you don't believe us, check it out. Check out the page at MySpace.
What, didn't that one guy go to Big Ball Lick or something?
Yes.
I think that's my favorite Dharmalarmy picture.
My favorite Dharmalarmy picture is, I don't know which one. Kurt climbing in the hatch. I don't know. You can go pick your favorites out at myspace.com/Dharmalars.
That's right.
Seriously, Ryan, but that's where my head goes.
If you're going to fart on Stevie's side.
For those of you that are fans of the non-Lost episodes, you might want to take a look at our post-Comic-Con episode entitled The Baconator Challenge.
That's the Baconator Ultimatum.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
It'll tell you how to cover up the smell of the results of a Baconator.
Yeah, anyone got a
with
coffee?
Here,
I'll turn this on.
Speaking of Comic-Con, hotel reservations went up this week, so
yeah.
I'm hoping to get those.
Fucking, we got to get that shit.
We're going to be there this year, guys. So.
Yeah, and Dre said last year that he was going to come this year, so Dre, I want you to be there with us at all times. Hang out with us, because you guys have to stick out, hang out for after the You All Everybody segment and listen to Dre's karaoke. A very good song. And you can submit your own karaoke. Send us an MP3 audio file to dharmalars@gmail.com.
Yep.
Ben, come on. You got to do it.
What?
Pick a song you know. Pick a song that you know you can sing.
I know, the look on Ryan's face right now would be priceless if I wasn't
the music,
so sensitive.
The song that Dre sent is in the same vein of the song I did, which is soft rock from 1977 to 83. Preferentially, that's what we're looking for. What music that I call Jemco
music.
Music,
yeah.
So we're going to get to you all. Or I'm sorry. Transmission's back.
Yes.
We're going to get to the Dharma Line.
Dharma Line. I was hoping we'd call it the theme from the Tiki Wonder Hour. the most common.
You know what? For you, that'll be. I haven't done that in a while, specifically because it's been said, it's been used too many times. Yeah. But this week, the theme for Tiki Wonder Hour.
Welcome back.
Followed by an excellent karaoke from Dre. And because I play all the calls we receive, and because there's no special preferential treatment, we play them in the order we receive them. You might want to listen to all the calls because there's a special caller this week.
Yes. Of which we're always grateful.
Yes. Not that we're not grateful to everybody's calls.
Which we are.
But and not that we comment on everybody's calls, but we're commenting on this one, which I guess is preferential.
That's enough.
Listen to Jorge's call, everybody. See you later.
Hasta la vista.
Run to the choppa.
Those people need food.
Hi guys, this is Carol from California. I have a question about the t-shirts. I really love the show and I love you guys and stuff and I want to promote it, but yellow is not really my color, and I was wondering if you're ever going to have a shirt that maybe is a different color, or if I could please have permission to use one of the logos that I find online that I could just like right-click and save and put it on my own t-shirt, like through Zazzle or something. I would just need to send you guys like the copyright paperwork, and you guys would, I believe, sign it electronically. So that is my question, and I don't know if you guys will answer it on the show or what, but I don't want to leave my contact info in case this gets played on the air. But I think a lot of people probably feel that way because we love your show, but the shirt color is a little bit gay. Like in a good way, but not in that's not my lifestyle type of thing. I don't wear yellow much. Okay, that's my question. Thanks, guys. I love the show. Bye-bye.
What's up, Darmalars? Scott from Minnesota. Just got done listening to your show. Seattle Jimmy did a pretty good job. Yeah. You guys are okay, too, I guess. Ralph, that was most definitely Christian in the rocking chair, and Locke was not in the cabin. Do your research, guys. That's otherwise, funny as always. Take care. Bye.
Hey, Ralph and Ben, it's Michael from out in Kansas. Hey, you guys were talking about the Looking Glass hatch, how it was called the hatch in the on the blueprint. I can't remember where I heard this from. I think it was maybe the official ABC podcast with Damon and Carlton, but they had revealed that that was actually a goof and or a mistake, and the production designer or the prop master, whoever was making up the blueprint, put hatch, and it was never supposed to say hatch. It was supposed to say the Looking Glass something or other, but not. It wasn't supposed to say hatch. So thought I'd pass it along. Great show. See you later.
Hey, Dharma and Lars, this is Aisha calling from Portland, Oregon. Good to hear that you're back on the air. I just wanted to mention one point that you forgot to go over. The episode with Hurley when he was drawing the igloo, and it looked like, you know, the ice, the Eskimo. And I thought that might be like some sort of little Easter egg to maybe something that happened with Penny and the men that were looking for Desmond in the Arctic that we saw on the season finale. I think the season before last. So I thought that was an interesting little point. And other than that, the show was fantastic. I can't wait to see next week. And I certainly hope that they get off the island, especially with Jorge saying, never say never. It'd be really nice for the show to come full circle and for the Lossies who do want to go back to go back. So can't wait to hear the next podcast. Bye.
Yo, Damala, folks. All right, let's see. Number one, I'm cooking french fries and they're not quite done, so what the hell? Called the Damalas.
I heard through the grapevine and many a message board that the Darnalars received a bad, do we get this word bad? Okay, bad review on iTunes. What the fuck? What the F-U-C-K? Fuck. Is this idiot thinking? He's obviously not a Darmalar fan, you know? Because we obviously listen to the Darmalars for, you know, the easygoing, laid-back, fucking lost chit-chat bullshit that, you know, we've all come to like. So some dumbass comes hopping on the old fucking Darmalar line and decides that he's a fucking moron? I don't fucking get it. So I plan to ramble as long as Dre, sorry, buddy. Can't say I'm your best friend. Can't. I'd like to, because you're a fucking long-time Darmalar fucking listener, so I give you huge props. But if you could shave off a minute, maybe you'd be my boy. Just 1 minute. Come on, out, you know, chill, talk long. Because I plan to talk long. You know, I'm sitting here cooking my dinner. I got some tuna in the fucking fridge from yesterday, so it's not an old tuna, you know. Got some fries cooking. Hit the pumpernickel. And the whole entire idea of my conversation is all revolved around the fact that some idiot thinks that fucking calling the Darmalars and talking about the Darmalars and listening to the Darmalars is a bad thing. I don't get it. You know, shouldn't you call? Shouldn't you talk? Shouldn't you listen? I think you should. I think we should make a commercial for the Darmalars. I think it should be on nationalized television. I think, actually, I'm going to go out and buy a fucking Darmalars t-shirt right now. I think I will go to my grocery store and buy a credit card so I can use it online and buy a Darmalars t-shirt. There you go, people. You hear that? You just buy a credit card at the grocery store. You don't have to fucking use your whatever fuck card. You don't have to use your name. You don't have to do anything. You just buy your Darmalars t-shirt. And that way, all these idiots that think they know what the hell they're talking about, which they don't, will be left in the dust. So sign off, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and good morning. Alright, I just heard that last guy, and what the hell was he talking about? That shit needs to be erased. People do not need to hear what that raving maniac has to frickin' say. He must have not even lost something upstairs because he doesn't know what he's talking about. Erase that shit. The public would be better off without hearing it. But they still need to buy t-shirts. Thank you.
Peace.
Hey, guys, it's Jorge. Ralph, you're totally right. Randy was in that scene. In fact, I'm flipping through the pages of my original script right now, and it's supposed to cut to Randy right after the teaser of me blasting through the papayas and then the, you know, the cop cars chasing me. Actually, the papayas are supposed to be mangoes, too. That's good. That's not important. But the Camaro blasts the parking lot. Randy grabs one of the video cameras from the store and runs outside. And then as I come out and reveal who I am, basically, it's Randy saying in the from the POV, "You gotta be kidding me." And that's it.
Hi guys, this is Jessica and Downey. I just wanted to call in and say how much I enjoy your show. I started listening to you after Lost ended last year. And now I'm hooked. So keep up the good work. And yeah. All right, bye. Ruth, Rufio, Rufio, Rufio.
What's up, Dharma Lames? This is Dre coming out of LA. This one right here brings back a lot of great childhood memories. Me and my family used to go up to Vegas a lot, and it seemed like you always heard the same songs playing in the radio and everything, which was great, you know. You know, one in particular, great song, or Cool in the Gang, Joanna. I remember this look on my mom's face every time my stepdad used to sing her this song, so hope you like it.
La 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 la. La 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 la. Joanna, I love you. You're the one for me. I'm in love. On my mind,
she gives me her love and a feeling that's divine.
Never lets me down, especially at night. So I'm gonna do the best I can to please that girl and be her own man. She picks me up when I'm feeling low, and that's why, baby, I gotta let you know. I love you. You're the one for me. Oh, baby.
La,
she's
la,
the
la,
one.
Love you.
Too bad my mom's name is Mary.